This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Psalm 67 declares to us that God's blessings are for all people. And during this Easter season, we are reminded that God's blessing of new life in Christ through the power of the resurrection is for all people. Let us claim this truth afresh as we read responsively Psalm 67. Let God grant us grace and bless us. Let God make his face shine on us, so that your way becomes known on earth, so that your salvation becomes known among all the nations. Let the people thank you, God. Let all the people thank you. Let the people celebrate and shout with joy, because you judge the nations fairly and guide all nations on earth. Let the people thank you, God. Let all the people thank you. The earth has yielded its harvest. God blesses us. Our God blesses us. Let God continue to bless us. Let the far ends of the earth honor him.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Acts of the Apostles. Today we are in chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. And again, these are probably familiar to you if you were reading along as we went through our Lenten series this year. Beginning in verse 9 of Acts 16. A vision of a man from Macedonia came to Paul during the night. He stood urging Paul, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Immediately after he saw the vision, we prepared to leave for the province of Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We sailed from Troas straight for Samothrace and came to Neapolis the following day. From there we went to Philippi, a city of Macedonia's first district and a Roman colony. We stayed in that city several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the riverbank, where we thought there might be a place for prayer. We sat down and began to talk with the women who had gathered. One of those women was Lydia, a Gentile God worshiper from the city of Thyatira, a dealer in purple cloth. As she listened, the Lord enabled her to embrace Paul's message. Once she and her household were baptized, she urged, "Now that you have decided that I am a believer in the Lord, come and stay in my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Well, last week we talked about a dream about a hamburger. Did anybody dream about food? No. You dream about toys? Yeah, that's a good thing to dream about. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about birds. Anybody here know birds? You hear birds a lot. And what happens in the fall? When you look up in the sky, where are all the geese going? Where do the geese go when it gets cold out? They fly away, don't they? They fly south, where it gets a little warmer. And then how do they know when to come back? I have no clue either. Have you ever heard about salmon? They swim back to where they used to, where they were born. Sometimes even whales do that too. Yeah, they just know what to do. Do you think they just know what to do? Have you ever had a feeling when you just thought, I really should talk to that person. I haven't seen them in a while. I should really talk to them. And then they needed a little checking up on. It was good that you checked up on them. Sometimes we think those things just happen, but I think that's the Spirit. So today, did you hear what Pastor was reading? Paul had a vision. This vision wasn't about food like Peter's vision last week, but this one was about going and visiting someone. Sometimes we have plans. I don't know about you, but when we go as a family, when our boys were younger, we'd go on a trip or a planned day trip, and then my husband would have shortcuts that he decided we'd take. And those shortcuts usually made us go in a whole different direction. But it was a pretty awesome shortcut. A lot of times we found different places we didn't even think about, or people we didn't even know about. They were kind of happy accidents. So you take a shortcut when you visit a train track, right? Yeah. Sometimes those we think are just a happy accident. But I think those are sometimes the Holy Spirit showing us new opportunities and showing us new people. So Paul just happened to go in a place, and he ran into some people who he probably wouldn't have talked to about Jesus before, but there they were. And he was able to share God's love with them. So just like we talked about last week, God has all sorts of ways to talk with us. And sometimes those are the Holy Spirit through visions or dreams. Sometimes they're just those thoughts that we have about, I really should talk to somebody. I had that happen last week. I asked somebody, I haven't seen them at church in a while. Do you know anything about them? And you know what? They're here today. I think that's the Holy Spirit talking to everybody. What do you think? Yeah. Let's take a little moment. Let's talk to God about all those ways that we can find the Holy Spirit in our lives. Loving and gracious God, we thank you so much for all of the little nudges you give us to talk with other people, to maybe take a different turn, to maybe open up our eyes and ears to hear others when they speak. All of those nudges in which you help us to reach out to others in ways that we can share your love in your word. We thank you that you give us opportunities to do all of these things. And we ask that you would help us to open up our hearts that we might find more of those opportunities. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for each and every day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your guidance. Speak to us afresh today. Allow our spirits to connect with your spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, this is Memorial Day weekend. It marks the official start of road construction season. Along with road construction comes detours, right? All these little detours. Unexpected detours are not always fun. They're not always welcome. They can make us late. They can really mess up the plans that we've put in place. But sometimes these unexpected detours are also pretty amazing. They take us into places in the world that we'd otherwise miss. We might find a great out-of-the-way restaurant that becomes some favorite go-to spot. We might also find some little mom-and-pop store where that little gift that we've been searching the internet for, we can't find, it's right there because of a detour. I've heard of stories where detours have ended up creating lifelong relationships between people that wouldn't have otherwise bumped into each other and would have remained strangers. Detours are good, they're bad. As Jennifer talked in the children's moment about those little shortcuts, reminded me of childhood and riding along with my dad when he worked with Jim Dasso and Seed Corn, and we had to go up into Trempealeau County, north of La Crosse, delivering a couple extra bags of seed corn to a farmer early in the spring, and my dad knew this little shortcut that he had taken the year before. He's like, oh, I know a little shortcut here. We'll take this, no problem. It's going to cut 30 minutes off of the main route that me, sitting in the passenger seat with the paper-folded map, had guided him, said, this is the way we should go. No, he had this shortcut. Ended up being a three-hour shortcut because that shortcut was on the north side of a steep hill and the entire back country road was covered with glare ice. And we had a full-size van, so, you know, we nicknamed it Bambi. Even before that, it was sliding all over the place. It took us 3 hours to get down off of that treacherous spot. Detours, shortcuts, the paths that we take. Life is filled with detours. All sorts of little detours. Maybe your life hasn't been filled with as many detours as mine, but I kind of feel like my life has been nothing but a whole series of detours. I started out in high school, and I wanted to be this architectural engineer. Speaking of detours, I just threw them at the AV booth. Now they got to get the camera to catch up with me. These little detours happen in all spots of life. I wanted to be an architectural engineer designing homes, but that would have been 5 years of education, and I did not want that. So I took an easier route, 2-year degree, associate's, automotive technology. Well, it wasn't too long and I hurt my back, so I couldn't do that. And so I did this, did that, ended up working for IBM for a couple of years. Then I ended up working at a Christian camp in Minnesota for a couple of years. And I wanted to get back into school and I had a small college in Minnesota that I was going to go to. And all of a sudden, God called me out to Kansas and went out to Kansas, and I was able to get my bachelor's of science in ministry, which some people would say having a bachelor's of science in ministry is very fitting for me rather than a bachelor or rather than associates. You know, a bachelor of arts, BS is better than a BS, or BS is better than a BA because, you know, I'm more into that practical end of things, the applied things. At least that's the angle that I'll go with that on, but from Kansas, I came back. I wanted to get back to Wisconsin. And then got into youth ministry and decided I wanted to go into ordained ministry to seminary. And God had some other plans and went and did some construction, remodeling work for a little while, lighter stuff that I could do. And then I went back into youth ministry and then back to seminary. And it was at that time that I knew I was going to be leaving this thriving youth ministry. And I was trying to work out, okay, how do I tell everybody that I'm going to go back to seminary? What are some plans to make this transition? So I went off site in time I was in the Madison area. So I went to the Press House on UW-Madison campus. Great Presbyterian spot. Anybody going to UW-Madison, check out the Press House. Went there and I was sitting there with some coffee and doing some reading and writing and bumped into another young man who was in a similar detour of life. His wife had just been accepted into some prestigious academic program at UW-Madison, so they were going to be moving there, and he asked me, he's like, do you know of any churches in the area that are looking for a youth director? I've been down in Indianapolis at Third Pres doing youth ministry down there, and I'm looking for a church up here. Have I got a deal for you? These detours are amazing. Sometimes they take us to places that we don't want to go, and other times God answers those prayers and gives us true shortcuts. When I graduated from seminary, I found out that I wasn't going to get ordained as quickly as I planned. God had another detour. And it was going to take an extra year, year and a half, to get through the whole process within the Presbyterian Church. I was kind of bummed. And Chris and I went to a conference out on the East Coast as part of a big youth ministry study that had just completed, and our church that I had left youth ministry to go to seminary had been part of that. And as we're there, we sat down just randomly, at a table with two other people, and we started sharing stories and, oh, what are you doing? Well, I'm finishing up seminary, but I'm looking for a youth ministry position that hopefully can work into being an ordained position once I get ordained. They looked at each other and grinned and said, have we got a deal for you? He had just decided to go to seminary, and he was leaving a thriving youth ministry that was part of this same study. God works in many mysterious ways. A couple of years ago, realized God was calling me to accept a new call someplace. So I began the process, and I knew from talking to everybody, this could be a couple-year process. 30 days later, I accepted the call to serve here as your pastor. God gave an amazing shortcut. Life is full of shortcuts, full of detours. Some of the shortcuts are a little bit longer than we anticipate. Some of those detours are amazing and exciting, and other detours, we say, why, God? Why? Show me. Give me some answers. I've realized maybe it would actually help, rather than convincing ourselves that we know a particular path of life that we're on. We know that destination. We know where we have to get to. Maybe if we learn to look at life as one big detour, everything is just a detour to begin with. A divine detour planned out by God. That's more in line with the biblical witness of Christian faith. We're a people wandering through God's amazing and unexpected detours. Last week, we heard the witness of Peter in chapter 11 of Acts, where he was explaining to the religious leaders that God was creating his detour of their faith and was allowing Gentiles to become like them. These outsiders were now following the way of Jesus Christ. And in today's text, we hear the witness of the Apostle Paul and his companions as they're traveling through the regions of what's now modern-day Turkey. The lectionary skips over the first 8 verses of chapter 16 and starts with Paul's vision, this man from Macedonia. But the first 8 verses are important to understand the trajectory for this section, to understand the message that God wants us to hear. So let's take a little look at this map of this journey that Paul was on, this big detour. He started out in Syria and wanted to go through Galatia, wanted to go through into Asia, is where he was targeting to go to. He went through Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, wanted to get into Asia. Verse 6 tells us Paul and his companions traveled throughout this region because the Holy Spirit kept them from speaking the word in the province of Asia. Holy Spirit kept them from going into Asia. They wanted to go there. The question has come up time and time again. Why? Why might they have wanted to go to Asia? Notice there in the middle of Asia is that city, Thyatira. Thyatira is situated on the Lycus River. It was a strategic location for trade, military purposes. It was a wealthy town. It was famous for producing a purple dye. And purple, as it still is associated with royalty, wealth. It was highly valued in the ancient world. But this purple dye was produced from the madder root, which was a plant readily available in the region. And it was much less expensive than the alternative purple dye that came out of the prized Tyrian purple from snails, sea snails. So this was a rich area. Even today's church planters, they look for locations where they might have the greatest impact to be able to take root, to grow, to have a thriving, sustainable ministry. I think the same was probably true for Paul and his companions. But the Holy Spirit said, nope, at least not yet. They tried entering. They went to Mysia, but the Spirit again said, nope, nope, nope. Mysia is just north of Asia. I think they probably wanted to try to cut down through it and wouldn't work. So they went down to Troas. Again, to me, it seems like they were coming in trying to make that tie in from the other side. That's where Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia, opposite direction, across the sea. The man was saying, come, we need your help. So they set sail, eager to join up with whatever it was the Spirit was already doing over there in Macedonia. They arrived at Philippi and were told they stayed there several days. Philippi is right on that north edge of the water, shoreline, seashore city, Roman colony. They get there and there was no real Jewish presence. There weren't enough Jewish males to have a temple, synagogue. So on the Sabbath, they went outside the city gates. And they found a place where there might be a place of prayer. Maybe some Jewish people were meeting out there to worship. And as they went out there, they found some women. They sat down, they talked to them. One of these women was Lydia. Lydia, we're told, is a Gentile worshiper, a God worshiper from the city of Thyatira. And she was a dealer in purple cloth. We're told later that she was the head of the household and she welcomed them into her household. So much that was against all of the norms of that time. Maybe this was one big divine detour. Life is filled with detours. What are the detours of our lives? What are the detours that God is directing us to journey through as we continue to thrive and be the household of ministry that God has planned for us to be? In the midst of staff changes, in the midst of taking a look at leadership structure, in the midst of trying to understand how do we be God's people? What are the detours? What are the ways in which we want an answer and we want it now? We just want to know, okay, what are we supposed to be like, God? Who are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? And sometimes God gives us a little detour and says, not yet. We need to remain faithful. And sometimes it's in the midst of those detours that we learn other things. One of the ways that I reframe these divine detours is through what I call praxis. It's an experiment. It's a cycle of practicing something and then going back through and evaluating it. You try something new. How did it work? What did we learn from it? And what should we do from that? And as we do that, there's times that, yeah, things fail in our eyes. Sometimes it might seem like it's a long detour of going through that before we come to something spectacular. And we say, wow, this is what God has called us to do. That's part of the life of the church. The church during the time of the Reformation made significant changes. Christians, as they came across the ocean to this new land, had to figure out how to be God's people in a different way. They encountered many detours. We've become accustomed to knowing the end before we even start. That is not the way that God works. God calls us to follow step by step, trusting. And sometimes, as we read last week from Peter, that step by step is going down a pathway that we've been told, no, 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 you shouldn't do that. But if that's where God is calling us, who are we to say no? May we embark on these divine detours, trusting God and drawing closer and closer together as we pray for God's discernment and God's wisdom, as the Spirit leads us and as the Spirit says, no, not now. May we embrace these divine detours. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. For more information about us, our phone number is 920-922-0425. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m. Staff nursery is available for 3 years and under.